3,000 people were herded into railway cattle cars for transport to Auschwitz. There were 100 people to a car, sharing a single bucket for waste and a single pail of water to drink. We traveled for a total of 2 nights and 3 days and arrived in Auschwitz on the evening of April 17, 1944. There were suddenly barking dogs and lights shining in my eyes. I was still holding onto my bag and I hadn't let it touch the filthy floor of the cattle car. I was able to walk out of the car, but most of the others had to be hauled out. We were divided into 2 lines, men in one and women, children, and older men in the other. The man to my left was a Hungarian with a gray beard. He could hardly stand up and was pulling me to the left. He wanted me to go over to that line with him because he could see that these prisoners were going by truck to the camp. He could hardly stand up. Most of the people were sick and exhausted from the train. I tried to get him to come over to the men's only line with me, but was unsuccessful. We were moved forward in a line, 4 abreast. An SS officer, Dr. Josef Mengele, simply pointed his finger at each of us and said sternly, "Right, left, right, left." I was selected to go right. Another SS officer stopped me. He yelled at me in German to take off my rings and my watch, and to give him my gloves and anything else that I had in my pockets. I understood him, of course, because I spoke German perfectly. In the pouch, I had 20,000 pengos and $300. He took all my money, too. We were marched to the camp, guarded by SS soldiers. All our clothing, documents, and jewelry were taken. We stood there naked while they searched the crevices of our bodies and shaved our heads. Then, we went into the shower room. The capo and his helpers collected our shoes while we had cold showers. I got a pair of wooden clogs, one that fit my foot and one that didn't. Then, cold and wet and naked except for our clogs, we walked to the barracks, our new home, filled with bunk beds. One of the inmates recognized me. He was a friend of mine from Bratislava. He was so surprised to see me. He told me that of all our friends from Bratislava, he was the only one still alive. He told me about the crematoriums, that all the people who had come off the train and were directed to the left were by now gassed, and their bodies were going up in smoke. He told me that he saw my brother Joseph and his entire family perish that way. I felt sickened and could smell the burning flesh from within the barracks. He had survived because he had been involved with the Red Cross and wore the badge on his sleeve. He was so sorry to see me, especially now, because he was aware that the war was turning and he was certain that it would be over soon. I told him what had transpired over the course of the past 2 years since I last saw him, and he told me the same. He told me that he wanted to help me and brought me a bowl with a little soup in it. I looked at the soup and I couldn't eat it. It looked and smelled awful. I was hungry, but could not touch it and gave it to someone else. At that moment, I couldn't have predicted that in the future I would give anything for this soup. He told me that if I wanted to stay alive, I needed to show that I was capable of working. The Allies were bombing German infrastructure and they needed men to repair the buildings, roads, and railways that were being hit. He told me that the next day that there would be an appel, a twice-daily roll call, where they would have another selection from all the barracks looking for men who they could use for forced labor throughout Germany. This would be my chance to show that I was physically fit for work. If chosen, I would be given some food, a little bread, and margarine every day, and would have a chance of surviving to the end of the war. The prisoners' rations varied between concentration camps slightly, but by and large were the same in most labor camps. Inmates were fed 3 times a day. The goal of these rations was not to sustain the inmates, but to exploit them for labor with the minimal provisions possible.